You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, we want to continue our conversation on baptism, the new creation, the new clothing, and the new walking. Now, we've been walking through the epistle to the baptized in Ephesus. Last time we left off at Ephesians chapter 4, let's go ahead and look at verse 22 again. The Holy Spirit teaches us through the mouth of the Apostle Paul, saying, "Put off, that is, lay aside your old man, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, that is to be clothed in the new man, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." Now again, we're talking about this new life, this baptismal life, the life in which we have a new identity in Christ. We are a new creation. Therefore, we have the contrast between the old way of doing things as part of the old creation that's in rebellion against God. That's referred to as the old self, or literally, the old man. Instead, we are to put on, to be clothed with the new self, that is, the new man. Now, originally, when the first man was created, and of course, the first woman, they were created in the image and likeness of God, God alone who is righteous and holy. They were made in the image and likeness of God's righteousness and holiness. But when they fell into sin, they lost that image. Instead, they have fallen into a state of rebellion, a state of corruption. And therefore, God gave to them another image of his righteousness and holiness, which of course is his law. Now, the law, of course, cannot make a person righteous and holy. The law is the image of God's righteousness and holiness. The law reveals the will of God, who alone is righteous and holy. Now, because of sin, mankind is conceived and born in the image of Adam, the old man, that is, the rebellious man, the one who is corrupted by deceitful desires. And therefore, we act like our father, Adam. And the law is given to us as an image of what the righteousness and holiness of God is, that we would walk in that way. But again, as we said, the law itself cannot make us righteous and holy. It is only by the gospel, that is, the work of Christ and his person, who is the true Adam, the true man. He is also true God. He is truly righteous and holy. By his work, by his death, by his life, by his and ascension as our high priest and mediator, he is the one who is making us his holy and righteous people. His righteousness, his holiness is imputed to us by faith, for he is our righteousness and he is our holiness. And in his ascension as our high priest, he continues to pour out the remission of sins and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Now, in baptism, we have the promise of the work of the Holy Spirit, who is indwelling the believer. because of Christ, the believer has been reconciled, justified, and regenerated. Now here Paul is talking to the baptized. He is encouraging us in our new identity found in Christ. We are a new creation, and there is no condemnation. For Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law and freed us from the condemnation of the law. That in Christ we are a new creation, and the Holy Spirit is at work in us, beginning to give to us new impulses, new thoughts, new desires, new words, and new ways of walking in this newness of life. And therefore, as the Holy Spirit is teaching us, guiding us, leading us by the Word, we are beginning to walk in newness of life. But in this life, as the baptized, sin will still remain in us, clinging to us, always trying to rule and reign over us. But as the baptized, we are wrestling and struggling and fighting against sin in our own hearts and our own lives. And here Paul is exhorting us, teaching us the difference between the old way of walking, that is, as part of the fallen creation, corrupted and in rebellion against the Creator, and the new way of walking, that is, those who have been reconciled with the Creator, brought into the light, and beginning to walk in the light. Now, we've been freed from the law, but now we are walking in the law. So therefore, Paul teaches the baptized to put off, that is, lay aside your old self, your old man. That is the former way of life. Like the old man, the old Adam who rebels against God, corrupted by deceitful desires. We are not to walk in this way. This, in fact, is the way of the pagans, the way of the Gentiles, the way of the unbelievers who do not know Christ. Those who are still in darkness, those who are still deceived by the devil. So we're not to walk like them in the futility of their minds, darkened in their understanding, and alienated from the life of God. You see, their hearts are hardened. They are ignorant. They are calloused, and they continue to give themselves up to sensuality and to greedy practices of every kind of impurity. That is the way of the world, the way of wickedness. But in this life, as we have been reborn, renewed, and beginning to be restored in Christ, as the Holy Spirit is working in us, we are beginning to walk in the new life. We are putting on, that is, being clothed in the new self, the new man. Through the power of the gospel, the Holy Spirit has converted our hearts and continues to convert them. He is renewing our minds, converting the way that we think and perceive things in this life. And He is restoring us into the image and likeness of God. That's Christ, the true image of the invisible God. We are being formed and shaped into the image of the only begotten Son, for we are adopted sons, heirs of the kingdom with Him through the grace given to us in baptism, as the promises declare, that we are being created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Now understand that as the baptized, God is continuing to work in us. In particular, the indwelling Holy Spirit continues to work within. The Holy Spirit continues to work on the outside externally with the gospel that comes into our ears, and then it changes and restores our hearts. That He is always beginning this good work in us. So every day we are always starting. We are beginning to walk, starting to do what God has us do. In this life, we will never completely or fully or perfectly do the will of God. We are always beginning to do the will of God, beginning to walk in the law. Now remember, we need to make a contrast here between being under the law, that is, the unbelievers are under the curse and under the condemnation of the law. But as believers who have been brought out of the darkness, converted by the Holy Spirit, we are no longer under the law, we are under grace. And therefore, we begin to walk in the law in newness of life as we walk in the light. And when we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses all of our sins. Our sins are not counted against us, they were counted against Him. And instead, His righteousness is counted as our righteousness before God. Now let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4 and pick up at verse 25. Therefore, and again, notice in the scripture when there's a therefore, it's a conclusion coming on the heels of the assertions that Paul has already made. Therefore, having laid aside, that is, put off falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, because we are all members of one another. Now again, notice this is the same language that Paul just used in verse 22 about putting off the old self or laying it aside, putting it away. This is the same language. This is the language of the new identity in our baptism, that we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. And therefore, with the new clothing, we are to begin the new walking. And so notice what he then says as we've put off the old way of falsehood. And we begin to speak the truth with our neighbor, and in particular, our fellow members in the body of Christ. And therefore, he says at verse 26, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and then therefore give the opportunity to the devil. Here, of course, Paul is expounding upon Psalm chapter 4, that we are not to let the anger reign and rule over us and lead us into sin. Now again, anger itself is a passion. It is this desire to do something. Now, if the passion is harnessed correctly, then this anger then leads towards justice, making sure that the right thing is done for the benefit of the others. But if this anger, this passion is not harnessed correctly, it will lead to vengeance and trying to take things up in our own hands and trying to make things right in our own sight. And so Paul is teaching us how in this new life, we are to walk in the manner that is worthy of our calling, that we would take these passions and harness them for good. And so therefore, at verse 28, he says, the thief should no longer steal, but rather instead let him labor. Let him work. Why? Because doing honest work with his own hands, he will have something to share with anyone in need. Now again, notice the old way of working for a thief was stealing, right? He's taking things. And when you're stealing, you're taking things for yourself. And so you are quote unquote working for your own benefit. But Paul says, now that was the old way before you were converted to the faith. In the new way, work for the benefit of others. Instead of trying to take things from other people and seeing how others can benefit you, get a job and use the money for your job to give to others and be of benefit to them. It's a completely different way of looking at life in this world. Instead of being self-centered and always trying to serve the self, we're beginning to walk in newness of life in which we serve others. It is sacrificial love. It is self-giving to others. Notice how this whole conversation is about being united in the body of Christ. When we are baptized, we are united with Christ, and therefore we are united with other believers who have been united in the body of Christ. And so Paul will use the imagery over and over again of a body and its individual members. We've been united together in baptism. Baptism is that sacrament that brings us into the church, into fellowship with one another. It is the sacrament of justification, that we now stand together as those who have been absolved, that is, declared not guilty, forgiven all of our sins. And therefore, as we've been united together, we are to love one another, for we are all members of the body of Christ. So no longer are we to be self-serving sinners. Instead, we are to be self-giving, forgiven sinners. That as Christ has loved us, we begin to love others. As Christ has forgiven us, we begin to forgive others. As Christ has mercy on us, we begin to be merciful toward others. Now let's go back to the text and pick up at verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but instead only such things as are good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. You see, with our new identity and this new creation and this new clothing and this new walking, there's new ways of thinking and new ways of speaking. And we have new speaking. We used to talk with falsehood, but now we are to speak the truth. The devil himself, of course, is a liar, and those who have been corrupted and deceived and enslaved by the devil are liars like their father. But now we have been brought out of the darkness into the light, and we know the truth, and we have the spirit of truth, and we're beginning to speak the truth to one another, which is of benefit to each other. Now, in this new way of walking, we're learning how to use our mouths properly to build up others, to speak the truth to others, to bless others instead of cursing others, as Christ comes to bless us. Now, let's pick up at verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now again, notice here that this is a warning to the baptized. This is a warning to the believers that they would not grieve the Holy Spirit. And the baptized believers have the promise that in baptism, they have been united to Christ. United in his death, united in his resurrection, and united in his ascension. And therefore, and in his ascension, he pours out the remission of sins and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. This is the same language that Paul was using back in chapter 1 when he began this whole conversation with the baptized in Ephesus, in which he had reminded them, saying, in Christ, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and you believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. Now again, we have this promise of being united in Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is working through the gospel in its various forms, the gospel in the spoken word, the gospel in the written word, the gospel in the water of baptism, the gospel in the bread and the wine, that is, the very body and very blood of Jesus in Holy Communion, that the gospel comes to give to us new life. And as the gospel is poured out and distributed to us, the Holy Spirit is poured out and distributed. He works through the power of the gospel. So now remember, the whole premise of this letter to the baptized is that you have been sealed by the promised Holy Spirit, who is at work in you, renewing your minds and giving to you new desires and new impulses in this life, which are contrary to the old desires and the old impulses of fallen creation. In fact, that's what Paul had said back in Ephesians chapter 2, in which we are to no longer walk in the way of the world, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, that spirit who is at work in the sons of disobedience. Well, the spirit that is at work in them is the devil. He is a liar. He's a lying spirit, a spirit of falsehood. Instead, as the baptized, we have the promise of the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of God, that is the Holy Spirit, who is at work in us through the power of the gospel. However, if we reject the gospel, if we refuse to hear the voice of God, if we resist the work of the Holy Spirit, we revert back to our old ways. Instead of the Holy Spirit renewing our minds, we are led astray and away from God by the seduction and temptation of the devil. Now understand that this is how Paul begins his letter, saying that you've been sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. But now when he gets to chapter 4, he says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Now, this, of course, is a warning to the baptized that, yes, the baptized could fall back into the darkness and deception of the devil and lose faith, and then once again be blinded by the spirit of deceit. And then understand, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is what unites us with Christ in the mystical union. Without faith, we become separated from Christ. And therefore, Paul is using this imagery that was used by Isaiah the prophet, all the way back in Isaiah 63, when Isaiah is speaking about the exodus from Egypt as he's teaching about the new exodus with Jesus. Now again, remember that when they were in Egypt, they were in slavery, and they walked in the ways of the Egyptians. But when God freed them from captivity, he redeemed them, delivering them, and leading them into the promised land, they were to begin to walk in new ways, in the way of the promises of God, hearing his voice and rejoicing in all that he teaches and says. Now let's be clear here, the same God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. The triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, was there creating and redeeming, just like in the New Testament, he is recreating and redeeming. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were actively involved in the Exodus, and they continue to be actively involved in the new Exodus that we now have in Christ. Now, Isaiah, back in 63, says this, "In all of their affliction," now the affliction that he's speaking of is the people of Israel, "he was afflicted." Now, who's the he? Isaiah is referring to the second person of the Holy Trinity, the only begotten Son of God, pre-incarnate in those days, who delivered and redeemed his people. And so he was afflicted when they were afflicted. Now Isaiah goes on to say that the messenger of his face saved them. Now, who's the messenger? Again, the second person of the Holy Trinity. The Father sends the Son. The Son is the Word of God. He is the one who shows forth the face of the Father. And he's the one that saved the people out of Egypt from slavery and captivity to Pharaoh. It is in his love and in his pity that he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. And we know this story. We know the salvation story of God doing a mighty wonder, bringing his people out of Egypt. However, we also know the sad story of the people of God constantly rebelling against God, refusing to listen to the word of God and resisting the work of the Holy Spirit. So Isaiah goes on in the very next verse, "But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he turned to be their enemy, and he himself fought against them." Now again, notice you have all three persons of the Blessed Holy Trinity. You have Yahweh, the messenger of Yahweh, and Yahweh's Holy Spirit. But as the people were redeemed and delivered out of slavery and began to walk with this new identity toward the promised land, they began to become disgruntled and grumbled against Moses and the word that they heard. They no longer wanted to walk in God's ways. They no longer wanted to believe in the promises of God. They were persuaded and swayed away into the ways of the world. And therefore, when they rebelled, they grieved the Holy Spirit. They resisted his work through the word. Now, Paul is bringing all of this to our attention, that the people of God who were once saved then refused to continue to walk in the way of the light and rejoice in his voice, but instead reject the word and resist the Holy Spirit, and therefore grieve the Holy Spirit, and then died in their sins without entering into the promised land. So again, Paul is giving a warning to the people of God who have been redeemed by Christ, who have been saved by Christ, the incarnate word. The same Jesus who saved the people out of Egypt is the same Jesus who has now saved us from the slavery to Satan. In fact, Paul will use this same imagery in his first letter to the baptized in Corinth in chapter 10, in which Paul writes and warns them, saying this, "I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers, who were all under the cloud, and all of them passed through the sea," and note the sea is water, "and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and they all drank the same spiritual drink, because they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ." See again. The same Son of God who delivered and redeemed a people out of Egypt is the same Son of God that comes to deliver and redeem us from the slavery to sin and Satan. And Paul goes on and says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 at verse 5. "Nonetheless, with most of them, God was not pleased." Why? "Because they were overthrown in the wilderness. And these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did." And then Paul goes on to say, "Do not become idolaters." Again, understand that the issue of idolatry is not statue worship. The issue of idolatry is false belief, unbelief, rejecting the word of God, refusing to be shaped by God's word into God's image, but instead in idolatry, we try to form and shape God into our corrupted and fallen images.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer Jesus Christ continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.